Blog Talk Radio.
The time will come when all men will stand on the shore of their
We're going home. Not be lost without you. Who could take your place among us? It's time for me to show you that I appreciate your faithfulness, yeah. You care for me without complaining, with every ounce of strength remaining. Nourish me back to life again, and I thank God for his spirit in you. Your precious, your trusting, your thoughtful, your godly, you open your mouth with wisdom, and in your tongue is the law of holiness. A righteous man, I got a virtue of the woman. It's like a hand that loves, and there's so much love. You've never been a busybody. Keep your mind on family matters. I confess in front of everybody that you're blessed and you're highly favored. You're working more than gold and rubies. You're working when I'm tired and sleeping. Strength and honor is your girdle, God. Broke the mold when he made you, darling. Honor God with all your substance. I understand the Bible when it says that a man don't live by bread alone. You're patient, you're honest, you're gentle, you're steadfast. You open your mouth with knowledge, and from your lips flow the words of Jesus Christ. A righteous man. It's like a hand and love, and there's so much love. A righteous man, he is the virtue of the woman. What God has joined together, let no man break it up. No, no. Oh. Every man needs. Oh, 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 oh. We are virtuous woman. I don't wanna live without you. I don't wanna think about it. Every day that I'm giving, I'll be ready to render you your due benevolence with a soft answer and a smile. Get without that I might have. The elders praise you when they see you coming, and it makes me just melt like butter, girl. A righteous man, I got a virtue with the woman. It's like a hand and love, and there's so much love. A righteous man, he needs a virtue of the woman. What God has joined together, let no man break it up. I want to take a little time to thank the God for being with me through all of these bad times. You're a virtue. Thank you.
I searched through the archives. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible study that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, And today, returning to read is one of my favorite readers. He is an ABT University student. This is the one, the only, Kevin J. Go ahead, Kevin J.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom. Can you hear okay?
You're good on my end.
Okay. Hey, Shabbat Shalom to ABT fam. I know it's going to be a good one per the title. Can't wait to get this going. And again, thanks for allowing me the opportunity to help you bring out the word, brother.
Praise God, brother. Praise God. And, you know, I appreciate you reading for us today, as I'm sure everyone else does. And I look forward to any and all input you may have concerning this one. And I'm pretty sure you're going to have something to say about this one. But before we get into today's class, let me just say to everybody on Clubhouse, welcome. If this is your first time coming to check us out, we appreciate you coming to study with us today, and we hope you continue to study with us in the future. But we have to let everybody know who's new, just in case you don't know or haven't been told. This is our Sabbath study class. Again, this is our Sabbath study. This is a teaching, a lesson. What that simply means is it's not a free-for-all where anytime you see fit, you raise your hand and we'll bring you to the stage. Not yet. What that means for you is you will hold your questions and your comments until the study is over. Again, if you have any questions or comments, simply hold them, and we will allow you to ask any questions or make any comments when the lesson is over. When the lesson is over, you know the routine. Just simply raise your hand, and one of my mods will bring you up to the stage, and you can ask any question or make any comments you want, provided you are respectful. And speaking of respect, that goes double for my people in the chat room. Please don't be in the chat room trying to incite any type of strife or just trying to have some kind of opposition against what's being taught today. If you do, one of my mods will expel you from the room, no questions asked. They'll just kick you right out. And if you feel a ways about it, hit one of them up in the back chat and ask them why they did it. I'm pretty sure they will be more than happy to tell you why. So with that being said, the title of today's lesson is Pimping Since the Beginning. I already know y'all like this dude tripping, but it's the truth. Today's class is titled Pimping Since the Beginning. And I've told y'all I've done a class like this before, and if you've been at ABT for a while, you've heard me do this class before, and I put a couple of modifications on it for people at ABT who's had it before, who's heard it before. But I decided I wanted to do this particular class because we were talking about a few weeks back about how sex in of itself is not marriage. There's a false doctrine circulating around among some Hebrew camps, not all, but among some Hebrew camps, many of them in fact, who are perpetrating the lie that sex, the act, you know, having sex with somebody, that constitutes marriage. In other words, when you sleep with a woman, if you're a man and you sleep with a single woman, that's your wife. That is a doctrine that is being perpetrated, and we debunked that. We showed that it's not true. If you are a single man or even a married man and you just have sex with a single woman, she does not have to be married. She does not have to belong to anyone else. If you have sex with a single woman, just like that, that is fornication, or that is playing the harlot. And yes, men can play the harlot too. We showed that in previous classes. If you didn't know that, check the replays. We proved that. So we did a couple of classes debunking that and showing what the Bible defines as marriage, what constitutes an actual marriage in the eyes of God. And in the course of doing that, I brought out that a lot of things that are going on in these Hebrew camps and modern day churches is a subtle form of pimping. It's a subtle form of it. And there is fault on both sides, both on the pimp and on the pimped. It's fault on both sides. You can't just blame one side or the other. And I'm here to show you today that once you understand that pimping has been around since the beginning, then you'll be able to recognize it when you see it today. Now, to be perfectly honest, I don't think most of us need a lesson on what pimping itself is. We're not talking about the pimp game and how to run it. We just talking about we know what a pimp is and what a pimp does. I'm pretty sure we're adults here. We know what they do, right? So we're not here to talk about the game and the strategies, although I might throw some stuff out there during the course of this lesson, but that's not why we're here specifically. But what I wanted y'all to understand when you walk up out of here is that pimping has been going on since the beginning and that it is always, always, and will always be closely correlated with some kind of religion, some kind of spirituality. This is what people don't get. People think in the church, or once I join a Hebrew camp, I am safe and free from all sorts of pimping. No, you're not. In fact, and I want y'all to hear me on this, people who are a part of any kind of religious institution or spiritual system or organized worship, they are more vulnerable to pimping and being pimped than anyone else, because pimping has its roots in religion. And nobody is connecting the two, even though the Bible lets you know, even though the pimps themselves, there's even a book out called The Pimp's Bible. And they take it back to religion. And we have a lot of people who are ignorant of this. They don't know any better. And they get caught up in this stuff. And that's the problem. They get caught up in it. And you don't even understand that not only may you might be getting pimped, but what's worse, you might be doing the pimping. There are a lot of people, see, y'all didn't know I was going to throw that at y'all. See, a lot of people say, you know, you're being pimped and you don't even know it. And that's true. That could be the case. But a lot of people are pimping and don't even know it. They're not trying to do it. But if you look back, you know what? I'm nothing but a pimp. Dang. So we're going to show you in this class that this has been around since the beginning, and a lot of stuff that you are being taught concerning marriage, especially in these Hebrew Israelite camps, not all of them, but especially in the Hebrew Israelite camps, is a subtle form of pimping. That's all it is. You got a man telling multiple women, you are my wife, you do what I tell you to do, you have no voice of your own, and I can have as many of y'all running around here as I want. And you cannot say anything about that. Dang, that sounds like a pimp to me. All it's left to do is go outside of head if you're that kind of pimp, because all pimps don't beat their women. So we're going to get this started first in Leviticus 19, and I want to show y'all something. Because there's a close correlation between pimping and something else that God never wanted to happen. Leviticus 19, one verse 29. So you ain't going to hear too many people come on this app and do a lesson titled Pimp in Front of Beginning.
Right.
You don't hear too many people do that. But I talk straight to y'all. I talk to y'all just like I know y'all. I keep it real. I use modern-day terminology and slang. Because that's where we all come from. I don't know too many people who don't know what this stuff is. Y'all know what pimping is. And I'm getting tired of people abandoning their street smarts when they come into the truth. I'm so sick of y'all doing that. A lot of y'all were real street savvy. And then you get into the truth and you see the same game being run in the street that you instantly recognize and then fall for, being ran in the church and these camps, and then you fall for it there. That's what be tripping me out. When you get into the truth, you don't supposed to lose your street smarts. You're just supposed to add the truth to your street smarts. That's what you're supposed to do. But y'all get up in here, and y'all join these camps and these churches, and y'all just get plumb stupid. But then again, a good tip can rob you of your intelligence.
Mm.
A good tip will gaslight you into thinking something's wrong with you. And a lot of y'all are being pimped by people calling themselves priests and pastors.
Mm.
Right? Well, let me show you something how God felt about this. Leviticus 19 and 29, when you get there, read, please.
Leviticus 19, verse 29, says, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom, and the land become full of wickedness.
Now look what it says. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a whore. This is a commandment to the parents of a daughter, especially the father, right? That they should not prostitute their daughter to cause her to be a whore. There would be no need for such a commandment, Kevin, unless you had people in ancient Israel that were trying to do that, or they were doing that before they came into the knowledge of the law.
Correct.
There would be no need for that. That means they came from a culture that was doing that, or they were neighbors to cultures that did that. And before Israel became a nation, you know, with their own land and laws, they were living in ancient Egypt. They were surrounded by Canaanites. And these other cultures were doing this. They had temple pimps and temple prostitutes. You can look this stuff up. And Israel start doing it too. So it says, don't prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a whore. Why? Let the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. So if you prostitute your daughter, the land is going to fall to whoredom, meaning everybody in the land going to be whoring around. And it's going to become full of wickedness. That's like America today.
Yep.
Whoredoms everywhere, men and women. But notice it's aiming this at the parents. So when you go on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and you see all these young girls whoring themselves on camera, understand that fathers and their mothers are at fault. It's their fault because they did not teach them that is wrong. See, not only do you not purposely prostitute your daughters, you also have to teach them that that is wrong. And I can tell nobody is teaching their children that because they go right out and do it. These be young girls doing this stuff. Y'all know that. And now the land has fallen to whoredoms. Now we got strip clubs everywhere. We got women walking around half-dressed, talking about they're Christians and Israelites. Christians, I can understand because they don't know any better. They ain't being taught anything. But I go on Facebook and I see sisters with Israel and Yisrael and Yasharala in their names, and they got short mini skirts and cleavage and everything falling out. Israel supposed to know better, y'all. I don't expect much from anybody else, but Israel's supposed to know better. I don't expect a Christian woman to know better because she's never been taught that. But Israel's supposed to know better. So God is telling us, do not prostitute your daughter. Do not have your daughter out there being a prostitute. And we're going to get real basic so everybody can see what a prostitute is. Because we don't play that, well, what do you think a prostitute is, Josh? I'm tired when people do that. I ask them, what is the definition of a word? Well, what do you think it is? Or you would say, no, let's just look it up. Words have meanings, y'all. And these meanings, for some of these words, some of them are static. What that means is they don't move. You can't shift them around to move mean anything else. And that's what we like to do. We like to redefine words to justify our sin. So let's see what the word prostitute means. We're going to go to Oxford Languages. That's online. Oxford Languages Dictionary. And we're going to look up the word prostitute. And I'm not about to read anything to y'all that I'm pretty sure 99.9% of y'all already know.
Yes, sir.
I know y'all already know this stuff, but I'm going to tie it into the scriptures and show you today that there is a pimp game going on. And I hate to say it, but this is just how it is. Women are caught up in it more than men. They falling for it more than men. Because I keep telling people, y'all can get mad at me all I want. I ain't trying to offend no stuff, but this is the way God got it set up. Women are smarter than men, naturally. Yeah, I said it. Come at me, fellas. Women are smarter than men, naturally. But here's the flip side. Men have more stable minds. We're stronger. See, that's how God got it. How can you say that, Josh? How can you just put that out there? That's just what you think. Yo, I know young men, when I was in high school and middle school, who were molested, because it's the same thing, by older women, adults. And guess what? They ain't go on the street and start selling their bodies. They didn't start stripping at a club. But flip it around. When these young girls get molested, it just shatters them. Now they want to go jump on a pole somewhere. They want to start an OnlyFans. They want to start walking up and down the street. See, it's the difference. Now, I ain't going to get into it for a man molest another little boy. That's a different dynamic. We're talking about the opposite sex molesting the younger opposite sex. Women are smarter, but their minds are more fragile. That means it's easier to manipulate them. You don't believe me? Go out on your street right now and show me how many female pimps do you know that are pimping men. We ain't talking about pimping other females. I'm about pimping men. I would like to see that. I bet you can't think of one. Because your mind got to be fragile if a man can have you out there degrading yourself for money, and then you come back and give the money to him. See, the average brother ain't finna do that. Well, you crazy, girl. You think I'm finna come out here and be doing all this and give you the money? I'm not saying there ain't no simps out there like that. That is this, because there is. But I'm letting y'all know, that's the way it is. Women are smarter. Young girls are smarter than young boys. You can prove this academically. You can prove this developmentally. It's been proven. I've done the research. But women have more fragile minds. Their psyche breaks easier than ours do. That's the trade-off. That's the trade-off. That's why you don't see too many female pimps with a bunch of guys on the corner. And guys be on the corner, too. They got male prostitutes be on the corner. Call them gigolos. They be on the corner, too. But I guarantee you, if when that male prostitute leaves, he's either pocketing all that money himself or he's giving part of it to another man. He ain't giving it to no woman. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So don't get mad at me, sisters. I'm not trying to attack nobody's gender. I'm not trying to do that. But facts are facts. Women are pimped way more than men. And I'm not talking about some philosophical definition of pimp where, you know, some sister got her pimp and he give her all his money. I'm not talking about that kind of pimping because that's a form of pimping. I'm talking about the straight, legitimate form of pimping where they know they're being pimped. You tell this dude, yo, you're my whore. Go out there, get my money, bring it back. That's what I'm talking about. So don't come in the chat room talking, you know, there's some guys out there, they're stupid, and, you know, women take, I'm not talking about that kind of pimping. That's a form of pimping. I ain't taking that away. But we ain't talking about that. So now we're going to look up the word prostitute, right? This is Oxford Languages. This is what it says. It's a noun, and it could also be a verb, too. So we're looking up the noun. It says, a person, in particular, a woman. Why would it say in particular a woman? Because they do it the most. It's like saying especially women. A person in particular, a woman, who engages in sexual activity for payment. That's a prostitute. So when the Bible says don't prostitute your daughters, what it is saying is don't have your daughter out there engaging in sexual activity for payment. And by the way, sisters and brothers, it just said sexual activity. It did not say sex. It didn't just say plain old sex. Did y'all notice that? Did you notice that, Kevin? It didn't just say sex. It said sexual activity. Sexual activity doesn't just mean actually having sex with somebody. It means anything sexual that she's selling or that he's selling. That covers the strip club.
Yep.
That covers the OnlyFans. If I have to pay to see you perform something sexually to me or for me, that's prostitution. So that woman on that strip pole is no better than that woman walking up and down the block. She's no better, not in God's eyes. No better. That's prostitution. You're selling sex, physical sex and mental sex, right? And then it turns around and it gives you different synonyms for prostitute, right? You know, you got call girl, hooker, streetwalker. Some of these are euphemisms. Here's my favorite one, a model. Really? You know that's a euphemism. Lady of the night, that would never make sense to me because they do it during the day too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One of these straight up say, hope. That's what it say.
Right?
A strumpet. And what the Bible likes to use the most, harlot. Right? So we're not supposed to do that. And a lot of us are out here today, we don't even realize it, as parents. To our kids, either directly or indirectly. We're not telling them, yo, you don't supposed to be out here doing that. You don't supposed to be out here whoring yourself off like that. And I've heard some stories about young girls getting paid in school to have oral, to perform oral sex on dudes. See, a lot of y'all too old, too young. Kevin J probably remembers this. They had something back in the day at Ferris. They called them a kissing booth. Anybody remember them? A kissing booth.
Yeah, I'm pretty old, but it's not got them.
Yeah, they had a kissing booth, right? I mean, even back then, you got a whole line of guys lined up, and they'll pay like $1, $5 to just make out for like a few seconds with a woman. And then after he walks away, another guy come right behind. Even back then, I'm like, yo, I'm not trying to kiss this woman after all these dudes don't have they tongue in them out. What's wrong with y'all? Even back then. But they had something called the kissing booth. That's prostitution. You're paying this woman. And don't tell me that a sensual kiss, I'm not stupid. I know all forms of kisses are not sensual, like sexual. I know you can kiss your mom on the cheek versus how you kiss your wife in the mouth. I know that. There's a difference. But the kissing booths were sensual, sexual. So if it's sexual, then that's prostitution if you're paying for it. It doesn't have to be sex. It just has to be sexual for it to be prostitution, and you're paying for it. And I be on Clubhouse, and I see these women talking about all this money they need for a man to have in order to get with them. And then you follow up on their Instagram and you see how they're dressed. Right? So they want money and they're dressed like hookers. Sound like you're trying to sell some sex to me. Sexual, not necessarily sleeping with them. All of this, y'all, as y'all going to see, been going on since the beginning. And it's always started out being related to religion. We, being in a religion or a spiritual system or a belief system, we, sisters and brothers, need to be on the lookout more than anybody for pimps and prostitutes. We need to be. Because this is their home. Y'all understand? This is their, they have the home field advantage when it comes to this. Right? But now we see that. Now we're going to look up the word pimp. Because I want y'all to understand what this is. Stealing off their languages. We're going to look up the word pimp. And even to this day, and when I was growing up, if one of your friends called you a pimp, that was a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
In fact,
yeah.
In fact, Kevin, pimp has become a part of the greeting to just any man. What up, pimp?
Yeah.
It's become synonymous with just being a dude. But that's how you will greet each other if the land is full of whoredoms. See, the land full of whoredoms, what that mean? Ain't nothing but pimps and hoes running around. Right?
Yep.
And I've seen sisters playfully call each other hoes and the B word. I've seen them do it.
Yeah.
Playfully. But why has the language of sin, why has the language of fornication become everyday language for us? Because the land has fallen to whoredoms.
Yeah.
That's why we use this. I see women refer to themselves as that. Remember that song that one? I forget who that rapper was. She had a song called "I'm the Baddest Bitch." Y'all remember that song?
Oh, yeah. Who is that?
Right. That was the name of the song. She's calling herself that. She's saying that about herself. You know what I'm saying? Megan Fox. I look at the lyrics on this stuff. I don't watch the videos because I know what they're doing. But I look at the lyrics and the stuff they say about themselves. They are emphatically telling you we're whores. They don't try to deny it. Because the land is full of whoredom. This country, America, and not just America, all over the world. Because I can tell y'all some stories about how they get down in Europe. They got commercials, like regular commercials we see on TV. Well, people just get naked in the commercial. It's a regular commercial. They bump wild over that. They want people like America's Babylon. You definitely ain't ever been out of this country, have you?
Hey, Josh, you remember Ben Hill back in the day?
Yes.
Remember,
Ben Hill show.
My mother, boy.
Yep. I remember that.
Prostitution in around my district in Europe.
Right. And some places, prostitution is legal. Y'all know that. Well, let's see what a pimp is. Check this out. Pimp is a noun, and it should also be a verb. A man who controls prostitutes and arranges clients for them, taking part of their earnings in return. See, the pimp controls the prostitute and arranges their clients. You know, they set up who they're going to sleep with, and they take part of their prostitute's earnings. You know, you don't take all their money. They got to be able to make a living. But he take a fee. You follow what I'm saying? And the first pimps, y'all, were priests. The first pimps, let that set in for a minute. The first pimps were priests. It's like a chicken and egg type of thing. You know, like I said, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first, the pimp or the priest? You really can't tell. And they had something. Anybody ever seen the movie 300? Y'all remember the movie 300, how when Leonidas was climbing up the side of that mountain doing some fake jumps. I didn't want to put that in there. Right? And he got to the top, and he was going to the priest for oracles, like for prophecies, right? And even in that movie, they had the temple prostitutes there dancing, getting naked, and everything.
Yep.
But they were in a religious setting. And we walking around and thinking, ooh, thank you, Lord. I don't got away from my sins. I go to church. That's the home of the pimps and the whores, y'all. Same thing with the camps. Same thing with the Islamic mosque. I'm not saying that they're practicing that in every camp and every church. I'm just letting you know those locations and institutions, that's the home field of this kind of stuff. And if you don't know that, you'll think that you run away from this stuff when you really run into it. Right? And they got other synonyms for pimp. They got a pander, a Mac. They had a movie came out called The Mac. And in the 60s and 70s, especially for black people, there was a time in our history where pimping really became popularized. There was the birth of it. Superfly, Dolemite. I thought all that stuff growing up. And I'm an 80s baby, so that means it was still around for me to catch on VHS. I saw all of that stuff. Petey Wheatstraw and the Devil's Son-in-Law. Y'all ever seen that one?
I missed that one.
That's Dolemite. Guess what, though?
Oh, Dolemite. Yeah. Okay.
Guess what, though? He was a pimp. Not like by profession. He was like the kind of pimp we use the word, they just mess with a bunch of women. But he's called Petey Wheatstraw, the Devil's Son-in-Law. Kevin, how do you become a man's son-in-law? Who you got to marry?
Mom.
I said, who you got to marry to become a man's son-in-law? You got to marry his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Why is it that they had a movie surrounding a time in the 70s and Dolemite was well-known for being a pimp? Why would they have a movie starring a well-known pimp related to the devil and religion and all of that? See, they always know. The pimp, the real pimp, the unmagic woman, he know. He know this stuff is related to religion. We just don't know. Right? And like I said, you got, they also call a pimp a go-between. A brothel keeper. And you know, you had the women that ran them back in the day. If y'all ever seen any old cowboy movies? Well, you see the woman in the saloon singing and sitting on the piano or sitting in a swing, swinging back and forth. Those were the old West version of prostitutes. And in most of those cases, the brothel was being run by an older, retired female prostitute.
Right.
Y'all understand what I'm saying? This stuff be right in our face. They call pimping and prostitution the world's oldest profession for a reason. It's also called the world's most profitable profession.
Yes, sir.
You follow what I'm saying? So you got religion, a lot of money can be made off of religion. And then you got pimping, a lot of money can be made off of pimping.
Mm-hmm.
You put the two together, and you're going to die rich. You follow what I'm saying?
Brother Josh.
Yes, do.
When I was younger, I did not know that the clothes that those Western women wore were, I thought it was just a fashionable thing, like their style. And then I looked it up real brief, and it turns out they were actually in their underwear.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
But you know what's so funny, though, Judith? The reason why you didn't know that, because that was considered too much in that era. So what was considered too much in that era by our standards ain't nothing. So that lets you know how depraved we've become. It's back in those days, if you just showed your ankle or just your bare arms, you caught it. Everybody, you god darn whore. That's how they'll tell you back then. We watch that stuff now, that ain't nothing to us. And that's a shame that I can watch an old Western and see them swinging and walking around in their underwear and be like, man, that ain't nothing. What's wrong with that? You follow what I'm saying? Now these women today, I keep telling y'all, if there was a law that said that we could, I actually believe some of these women would just walk around butt naked. They wouldn't even care. They're like, shoot, I can be naked if I want to be naked. But they want to get naked anyway. Some men do too, though. I want y'all to see that. Now that we got this out the way, now Let's go back to the scriptures. Let's go to Sea Rock. Because y'all remember, it was aiming that commandment in Leviticus 19 and 29 at the parents, specifically the father. Why the father? Because the father is the one that gave away his daughter to be married.
Right.
Right? Now that we see that, we're going to go to Sirach 26. It's on page 97 in the Apocrypha section of the Septuagint, if you have one. This,
I guess.
This is Sirach or Ecclesiasticus. It goes by two names. Sirach or Ecclesiasticus, right? We're going to read chapter 26, and we're going to read verses 10 to 13, and these are instructions on how a man is supposed to deal with his daughter. And then we're going to let it tell us, and it uses a lot of euphemisms, but we adults, y'all, we know what it's talking about. But just in case we don't, we're going to read in another translation too, so you can really get the pictures, right? And y'all are going to see that a lot of us have failed as parents, and that's why a lot of our daughters are walking around here just whoring around, because we failed as parents. It's the truth. You let your daughter walk out wearing that? See, a lot of y'all are older. When y'all were growing up, you tried to walk out your mama or your dad. I know you don't think you're walking out the house wearing that. If you don't turn your butt back around, nowadays, our young girls, you know, and now we got to get on these dudes, too, because these boys, they want to throw on these skinny leg jeans. What is that about?
This generation. Yeah.
I keep telling you, parents, if you don't know if your son's pants are too tight, if you can tell how much change is in his pocket, they too tight. Y'all understand? If you can see his wallet print in his back pocket, they too tight. I'm trying to figure out how do they get into those things. How do you even get into that? And then you got the nerve to sag. Sagging is for loose-fitting pants. I know that. How you going to sag in some tight pants? You follow what I'm saying? If I can tell you are circumcised, your pants are too tight. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Those some tight pants. We got to tell our kids, no, boys and girls, because now the men, y'all going to see why in this class, y'all going to see why in this class I'm including the men in it too. When I first did this class, you know, I updated this. I was aiming it mostly at the women. But now this world has become so depraved that men are wilding out just as much as these girls. The girls still got to lead, but it ain't that big of a gap. You follow what I'm saying? It ain't that big of a gap. So this is C-Rock. We're going to get to this pimping. You always start with the dad. Why does it start with the dad? Because the dad gives the daughter away to marriage. And that tradition still goes on to this day. Y'all been to a wedding. Who gives this woman away? The father steps forth and say, I do. Y'all seen this. This still goes on. That comes from the Bible. Right? C-Rock. Ecclesiasticus 26, 10 to 13. Read, please.
Okay. Let me get myself together. Now I was dying.
Go
ahead. Okay. This is Deuteronomy verse 10. If thy daughter be saved, keep her in straight, lest she abuse herself through overmuch liberty.
Stop. It said, if your daughter be shameless, that means she don't got any shame. Do y'all know what it means to have no shame in a sense? We're going to read this. It's talking about in a sense of sexuality. If a woman has no shame, and we're talking about sexually, that means she will do anything sexually, and she will dress anyway sexually. I'm going to prove that to y'all. So this is talking to, like, how a father's supposed to deal with his daughter. If your daughter be shameless, has no shame, keep her in straightly. That means immediately. Right? Then they don't let her out. Don't let her go nowhere. Ain't that crazy? Said back then, tell me don't let her go nowhere. Our daughter's dressed any kind of way. Girl, you ain't going out there with it on. Well, mom, it's the style. Okay, going out there. You don't even let her out the house.
Right.
Then it says, lest she abuse herself. through overmuch liberty. What does it mean that she's abusing herself? It's come out sexually. Because a lot of women don't know that whoring around is a form of self-abuse. Y'all don't understand that. It's a form of self-abuse. But finish that. Read the rest of it. Read that.
Watch over an impudent eye, and marvel not if she trespass against thee.
It said, watch over an impudent eye, and marvel not if she trespass against you. I mean, watch over her impotent eye. I mean, that's an eye like, you know, that basically don't deal with any morals. And it says, do not marvel. I mean, don't be surprised if she trespass against you. That means when it says trespass against you, that means rebel against you. Sin against you. Don't listen to you. Right? Why is it aiming at the parents? Particularly the dad. But still the parents, you know, because can't no man teach no woman how to be a woman. Woman got to do that. Right? Woman got to do that. Right? Look what else it says. Read.
She will open her mouth as a thirsty traveler when he has found a fountain and drink of every water near her.
Now, wait a minute. Now, look how it's described to her. She will open her mouth. These are euphemisms, meaning these are nice ways of describing something very vulgar she's doing. And we still use that terminology to this day. What do we call desperate women? What do we say they are, y'all? Come on, talk to them things. What we call them?
Thirsty.
Thirsty. We call them thirsty. We call brothers thirsty, too. Right? I'm a fruity y'all. This is talking about sex. It says, she will open her mouth as a thirsty traveler when he has found a fountain and drink of every water near her. The fountains represent all the different men. This is saying that she is going to have sex if you don't check her while she's young and let her have too much liberty. All this is saying is she's going to become a hoe. And all of y'all parents, men and women, running around, I don't know why my daughter's so wild. She's just out of control. I said, hey, Marvie Popovich, out of control team. You on there crying. I just don't know what to do. Well, first thing we do need to do is call CPS because you have failed as a parent. That's the first thing we need to do. But it's your fault. I'm not saying that you didn't try. Now, if you try and you keep your daughter in check, and then she become an adult and go out and do all of that, that ain't on you. Because you didn't let her do it when she was under your roof growing up. But you got parents right now, got 14, 15-year-old daughters letting their boyfriend spend the night.
Crazy.
That's too much liberty. But this goes back to that first law. Don't prostitute your daughter. Don't whore her out. Don't give her too much liberty, right? Read the next part of that.
By every hedge will she sit down and open her quiver against every arrow.
She will open. Do y'all know what a quiver is, by the way? You know what a quiver is, Kevin?
No, I'm not sure.
A quiver is the container you keep the arrows in.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, you seen Avengers, you know how Hawkeye be having this?
Yeah.
That's his quiver on his back. And the arrows, he pulls the arrows out the quiver. Now, I'm not trying to be perverted, but I know what this author was trying to say. Y'all know what her quiver is, and y'all know what the arrows are. And it says she will open her quiver to every arrow. If you don't check your daughter.
Make it plain.
But just in case people want to act like they don't see the euphemism there, because I see it. And some for us, it's easier for some of us to see it in the other because some of us got dirty minds, like Kevin J. I'm just messing with you, bro. But I caught that the first time I read that, and I was like, whoa. But just in case somebody got some doubts, let me read to y'all another translation. We're going to read it in the Good News translation. There's two other translations. We're going to read in the Good News translation first. And we're just going to read that last verse. Right? Let me pull this up. Here we go. This is Sirach 26, verse 13. Look what it says. Good News translation. She'll spread her legs. This is what it says, y'all. This ain't me paraphrasing. She'll spread her legs anywhere for any man who wants her, just as a thirsty traveler will drink whatever water is available.
Wow.
Like you said, Kevin, make it plain. See, this is why they had their law. Not only were you not allowed to deliberately prostitute your daughter, like you can't be out there and say, hey, go out there, be a whore, own that money. You not only were not allowed to do that, you was also supposed to stop her from doing it herself.
Right.
And we don't do that. And we wonder why we got all these grandkids, but no son-in-laws. And like I said, if you tried, you know, there's nothing you can do. If you know why they were under your roof, yo, you ain't doing all that. Oh, no. And then they move out or age out and start doing all of that. That ain't on you. But if she already out there doing that and she in your house, you have failed as a parent. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's pimping since the beginning. A lot of us don't even understand as parents. We are pimps. We're not trying to be. We're not trying to do it. But that's what you are. How do you expect her to be any kind of way if she sees the mother going out like that? She sees her mama walking out the house, cleavage showing, short cut shorts or short cut skirt, trying to get bad attention from the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
What you think she gonna do? Then you want to get on her case. I love that old 80s commercial when the guy finds drugs in his son's bedroom and he getting on his case, right? So who taught you how to do this? The boy finally just snapped. You all right? I learned it from watching you. And, and then the narrator comes across and says, parents who have drugs, use drugs, have children who use drugs. That's what it says. So mothers who conduct themselves that way have daughters who conduct themselves that way.
Mm.
You can't be sending your kids no mixed signals. You cannot do that, right? But let me see how it reads in this other translation. We're going to read in the Contemporary English Version. Look what it says. This is, again, Sirach 26:13, Ecclesiastes 26:13. She will try to have sex with every man she sees.
That's plain.
Just as thirsty travelers will drink any water they can find. Right here. And all because you gave her too much liberty. That's the problem. And nowadays, you got to be extra strict because they ain't even got to go out the house to be exposed to nothing. They just get on the internet. It's very, very hard nowadays to prevent either of your children, male or female, from falling to whoredoms. Because this is a land of whoredoms. Even if you do a good job with your daughter, some other parent that didn't bother to try to have raised their daughter is going to become your daughter's friend. See, that's why it's true when it says it takes a village to raise a child. Kevin J can't have a daughter that he's trying to raise up in the neighborhood. He's trying to raise her up right, and Josh lives next door, and Keanu stays on the other side across the street, Ariel around the block, and all of us raising our daughters to be whores. Those are gonna be his daughter's friends. She don't stand a chance. She doesn't. It's the truth. That's why you just wish you could just take your kids and just move somewhere where only people of like minds are around you.
Right.
Right? That's the problem. Other people's kids ruin all of your hard work. That's why you got to know who your children's friends are.
Right.
You see your daughter on the phone with this girl. I ain't even talking about a dude. Every time you turn around, who you talking to? Oh, this Stacy, that's my girl. You know what? When am I going to meet Stacy? Bring Stacy by the house for dinner. And let me get to meet her. Don't tell her this is a special occasion or nothing. I want her to come exactly how she operates every day. And she walked through them doors, and she got on a mini skirt and cleavage hanging out. I'm going to laugh at dinner with her. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, yeah, good to meet you, Stacy. Second she leaves, you hang around that hole no more. That's how I'm supposed to be.
She might
need
to make it to the table.
Oh, you invite her over Kevin Day, so you know you entertain. You don't want to be a rude host because you didn't invite her. Now she get jazzy, then yeah, she ain't gonna stay there long. But you know, she just be real polite because you know that don't mean she's a bad girl in of itself. It don't mean that. But she walking around here like that, it's only a matter of time before somebody jump on her. And if your daughter's with her, they gonna jump on her too. That's that how it's supposed to be. We have failed as parents. We have become pimps of our own children. Indirectly. You know, some people do it directly. You know, there are stories of women who made their daughters sleep with men and got paid. That exists. That's direct pimping. Indirect pimping is when you don't try to stop them from being whores. Well, I'm not an indirect pimp because after she be out in the street doing all that whoring, she comes home and you take care of her because that's what a pimp does. A pimp takes care of the whore. That's what he does. So you're an indirect pimp. Don't even know it. See, they ain't ready for this one right here on Clubhouse, Kev. They ain't ready for this.
No, sir.
And we just get started. And we just get started. They ain't ready for this. This is the truth. See, these are the type of classes where folks start, that's when the numbers start dropping. They don't want to hear that one. But it's all good, though. Right? Now let's move on. Now that we don't got that out of the way, let's go back to Leviticus 21. Because I want to keep showing y'all there's always this dynamic between father and daughter when it comes to these kind of things.
Right.
Why do y'all think prostitutes call their pimp daddy? Why do y'all think that? Y'all ever wondered that? How did a pimp get the nickname daddy in the first place? Because it was the dad's job to watch over his daughter. And a lot of these girls have daddy issues.
Yep.
So they go out there and they're looking for their dad in these pimps. I read an article one time. I thought I had the pimp gang understood as far as the relationship between the pimp and the prostitute. Boy, was I wrong. This article revealed that a pimp is a prostitute's best friend. He is her advisor. He don't just have her out there instructing her on how to sell her body and make money. This pimp be giving her life lessons and stuff too. Like he's literally raising her. Which just further proves why it's so hard for these prostitutes to break away from that. They have emotional ties to these guys. So they call these pimps daddy because he's replacing the father she never had. And God always wanted to make sure that when it came to his dynamic, his religion, he didn't want his priest to have anything to do with whores. I'm going to show y'all that right now. He wanted those things to remain as separate as dry and water. You know what I'm saying? Day and night. This is Leviticus. Let me show y'all. This is Leviticus 21. Give me verse 9. Look what it says. Get them out the high priest. Get them out Aaron's son. Read that, please.
Leviticus 21 and verse 9. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profanes her father. She shall be burnt
This is just about the daughter of a priest that plays the whore or becomes a prostitute. Notice it didn't say this about whores in general. The daughter of a priest, right? Look what it said. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, y'all do know that profane can also be translated disgrace or disrespect. What this is telling you, sisters, is that when you out here sleep with all these men, it means you don't respect yourself. Or as Ecclesiasticus said, you're abusing yourself. Because when you don't respect yourself, you abuse yourself. But it also says if she does that, she's also profaning her father. That means she's disgracing her father, the priest. She shall be burnt with fire. I don't know if they killed the first, then burnt the body, or they did it old school, tie your butt to a stake and light you on fire.
Right. Let's skip the whole stone.
Let's skip the whole stone. We're going straight tied to a stake, burner. I don't know if it means burner alive, but it kind of indicates that it does mean that. It didn't say stone her and then burn her body.
Nope.
It did not say that. It said that she shall be burnt with fire. So they're saying that at face value, I'm inclined to believe they tied her up to a stake like they do the witches and then set her on fire. Because this is how serious God is about the daddy-daughter dynamic when it comes to, no, we ain't going to have no prostitutes or no whores being involved in anything that's close to my religion, because the priests are the closest things to the religion, to the spirituality. It said her dad. God was not playing about that. See, the dad is the original owner of that little girl. When the dad is absent, which we see in three out of five cases, the daughter does not have that covering, that head. So she goes out looking for another substitute. And that's why the prostitute calls the pimp daddy, because he has literally adopted her. But it's a confused dynamic. Because a daughter is not supposed to sleep with her literal dad. That's incest. That's sick.
Right.
So it's a distorted dynamic. So she's seeing him as somewhat of a father figure, but a lot of prostitutes also have intimate feelings for their pimps, too. Like, they want to, you know, get with them. They sleep with all these Johns out here, but they love that pimp. Like, that's who they want to marry. So the guy, the pimp, is like her daddy and her husband. Confusing. That's messing up her mind even more. But go back to verse 7 to show you how God don't want prostitution or pimping anywhere near his belief system. Read verse 7.
This is Leviticus 21, verse 7. They shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her. Neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his God.
See, the priest, the high priest, Aaron's son, just read verse 1 to let you know this is talking about. They weren't allowed to. It says they shall not take a wife that is a whore. You understand? I don't want whoredom nowhere near my holy men. You can't even marry them. This ain't talking about he telling them don't mess with whores, like don't be out there sleeping with them. No, he's like, no, you can't marry them. Because it was possible for you to marry a whore. Y'all know the saying trying to turn a whore to a housewife?
Yeah.
Telling the high priest, no, you can't turn a whore to a housewife. You can't marry her. Mm-hmm. And then he said, or profane. Remember, profane can also mean embarrassing or disgraceful. Shameless would be another word. Right? Neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto God. In other words, the priest had to marry virgins. They had to marry virgins. Why? Because God expected his men, the priest, high priest, to be pure. He wanted them to have pure women. They couldn't even have a divorced woman. And there's not nothing against anybody or any woman today that wasn't a virgin when they married their husbands. We ain't talking about that. Don't be like, man, I feel so bad because I got 3 or 4 kids and I got different baby daddies. No, we ain't going to make you feel bad about that. That ain't that kind of show. I'm just showing you how what he expects. And notice this is just for the high priest.
High priest, right.
This ain't everybody in general. So this is just for the high priest. So if you was around back then, sisters, and you were the way you are now, as far as, like, multiple baby daddies, he wasn't there to get with you. Just, you know, deal with it. Too bad. Right? But it don't mean that you're not good enough to get married again in general. Right? But now, let's move on. Now that we understand that, now let's go to Deuteronomy 23. Now let's get into this pimping.
Pimping.
I be trying to tell people, man. That's why God noticed that God did not want whoredoms anywhere near his religion, spiritual system. Because if a priest is married to a whore, a known whore, then that perverts the priest. Y'all understand? That perverts the priest and thus perverts his service to the Most High. That's why we try to tell brothers in the truth. We're all priests now. It tells you that. We're spiritual priests. We're not all Levites. We're not all sons of Aaron. But once you get into the truth, you become a priest, women and men, right? And if you're in the truth, you are a spiritual priest. So as a spiritual priest, why do you got all these brothers who y'all don't seen? I ain't got to call them name in their camp. Y'all supposed to be priests, and some of them claim to be Levitical priests.
Right.
Out here chasing hoes. Going into strip clubs and regular clubs where women on strip poles and all of that stuff. Come on, y'all. Pimping since the beginning. It's only two kinds of men that chase whores. Juns and pimps. Which one are you? It's only two kinds. I don't know. I don't know a third kind. Kevin, you know a third kind?
No, I don't.
I'm either trying to pay you for your services or I'm trying to put you to work if I'm chasing you and you're a prostitute. Or maybe both. But there's only two kinds. So there's no justification for a man of God today who understands that he's a spiritual priest to be caught anywhere chasing obvious whores. I'm not talking about some woman who dressed real nice and she carry herself in public and you get her behind closed door. Oh, man, she's undercover. She's a fed. That's what she is, undercover whore. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, come on, bro. You know that. Come on. She's literally on the strip pole, upside down. Come on, bro. You know that.
Oh, man.
Come on, you know that. You're supposed to be a priest. God don't want his priest to have anything to do with that. I don't know what the upside down got. It just seemed like it just emphasizes it even more. I don't know. It just seemed like it emphasizes the whoredom even more. I don't know.
Upside down.
Right? I guess that's a difficult act or a balancing act. So they just seem like it just means another level. I don't know. Leave me alone, Kevin. I ain't messing with you, Kevin J. Let's go to Deuteronomy 23. I'm not messing with you, man.
Oh, man.
Kevin J be instigated, man. He be instigated, man. He be egging me on, y'all. I'm trying to keep it under control. Because it's funny, but at the same time, it's not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This Deuteronomy 23. Mm-hmm. And we're going to read verses 10 to 13, because I want to show y'all this about men and women. And it's always relating it to religion, temple. Y'all going to see that? Deuteronomy 23, 10 to 13. Read that, please, when you get there.
If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness, that cast him by...
Hold on. My bad. I'm looking at C-Rock 26, one level below, Deuteronomy 23, 17, 18, my bad. I'm looking at Deuteronomy, but I'm looking at the verses in C-Rock, but looking at Deuteronomy, my bad, 17, 18. Yeah. Go ahead and read.
Oh, let me get back over there.
Yeah.
Trying to get my tools back out. So you get 97. Yeah, Jerome, you said you're at
C-Rock 23? I mean, no, I'm saying we're at Deuteronomy 23, but I was looking at what we went before in C-Rock for the verses. But Deuteronomy 23, 17 to 18.
17 to 18, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. Mm-hmm.
There should be no whore of the daughters of Israel, no a sodomite of the sons of Israel.
Now look what it's saying. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel. We know what that is for a woman. But then it says, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. And nearly everybody today thinks that this word sodomite right here means homosexual. It does not.
No, sir.
Sodomite in the King James Version Bible never, never, ever, ever means homosexual. It never means that. And I'm going to prove that to y'all. That is a modern day definition of sodomite. When we say sodomite today, we say homosexual. But when this was being translated, it did not mean that. But you can just tell from the context that whatever a sodomite is being mentioned alongside of a whore, a female whore. So common sense would tell anybody that maybe sodomite means a male whore.
Yes, right.
But we ain't got to guess at it. We're going to prove to y'all that's what it means. Right? And we're going to look at some very interesting translations, too. We're going to look it up and look at some translations. Can you read it, please?
Let me go back over here. Okay. Okay. That's not bringing higher of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord, thy God, for any fowl. For even both these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God.
Now look what it says. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore. That's like the money that she made from whoring. Or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. The house of the Lord thy God is the temple. It was the sanctuary or tabernacle back then. A big old mobile tent they had to take down and put up. But eventually they became the temple. They became the shrine, whatever you want to call it. This is saying that you are not allowed to make money from prostitution and use that money to support or donate to the house of the Lord. God do not want the hire of a whore. But notice what else it is. Notice that in verse 18, it changes terminology. From what it said in verse 17. 17 says, whore and sodomite. 18 says, whore and dog. Put two and two together. Whatever this sodomite is in verse 17, it's the same as this dog in verse 18. So this sodomite is referring to a dude. It's also saying that you're also known as a dog. Another terminology that women use today for men that whore around and cheat on them. Y'all, you saw some terminology lasted thousands of years, Kevin J. Like never went out of style.
Never went out of style.
Calling a loose woman thirsty—that's all the way back in Ecclesiastica.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's like 2,500 years old, and we still calling desperate women thirsty, and loose women calling them thirsty. Man, she thirsty. Some stuff just never go out of style, right? But what we're going to do is we're going to look up the word translated sodomite here so y'all can see for yourself that it does not mean a homosexual man. It does not mean that. It never means that. And that is 6945 in the Hebrew section. We're looking up the word translated sodomite. It never means that in the King James Version Bible. Not one. That is a misconception. Just look up the word in the Hebrew. Right? Again. 6945 in the Hebrew section. The word is Kadesh. Kadesh. Hebrew 6942. It says a quasi-sacred person that is technically a male devotee by prostitution. A male prostitute. So that means that dog is talking about a male prostitute. It don't say nothing about no homosexual. It says to licentious idolatry. How can it be related to licentious idolatry? Because you're doing it in a religious setting that's not of the Most High. So that means it's an idol. Then it says, sodomite, unclean. So sodomite in the King James Version Bible means male prostitute or male whore. That's all it means. Right? So what this is saying is, and we're going to look it up, we don't want any male or female prostitutes in Israel. But I'm going to show you that this is not just talking about in general. It's also talking about in a religious setting. Because this Deuteronomy 23, is 17 and 18, is talking about a religious setting. That's what this is talking about. Right? Let's read this in other translations, though. We're going to read this first in the NIV. That's the New International Version. You're going to read verse 17. Look what it says. Just to prove that, to do that. Sodomite means male prostitute. Does not mean homosexual. Ever in the King James Version Bible. Ever. That is a misconception. And I challenge anybody who don't believe that to prove to me that sodomite, not men of Sodom, as it says in Genesis 17, 18, maybe 19. No. Sodomite. Never means homosexual. This is Deuteronomy 23:17, NIV, New International Version. Look what it says. No Israelite man or woman is to become a shrine prostitute. Wait a minute. A shrine prostitute? This means a prostitute related to some kind of worship or religion. Because that's where pimping starts, y'all, with a religion, with a spiritual system, with a belief system. Right? And you can't have prostitutes without pimps. Somebody got to run the show, y'all. Y'all know that. This is how I read in the New Living Translation, Big Baby's favorite alternative translation, Deuteronomy 23:17. No Israelite, whether man or woman, may become a temple prostitute. See, a temple prostitute. That means you got temples doing this. And remember, God would not be telling the children of Israel this unless this was already going on somewhere or they were trying to do it themselves.
Right.
Or both. Y'all, sometimes we forget that Israel is a young nation compared to the other nations. Israel got a late start. How can you not know that as an Israelite? It says Abraham went down to Egypt. This is before you even get Isaac and Jacob and the 12 sons and then their tribes. Egypt was already up and running. Babylon was already up and running. Israel became a nation late in the game. So all these other nations before Israel became a nation, they were doing this stuff. They had the temple pimps. The pimps were the priests, and the prostitutes were the sodomites and the whores. This is why God did not want his priests to marry whores. Because before you know it, and we're going to read it, now we got the Levitical priest, the high priest, pimping hoes out of the temple. That's why. That's why he didn't want it. This I read in the English Standard Version or the ESV. None of the daughters of Israel shall be a cult prostitute. That's a religion, y'all.
Yep.
And none of the sons of Israel shall be a cult prostitute. Did y'all notice that in all these translations, it don't mention the sodomite ever meaning a male homosexual?
Not one time.
Because that's not what sodomite means in the King James Version Bible, and that's not what it means in the original Hebrew. That word means a male prostitute. That's what it means. So you have men and females, prostitutes, that were trying to have prostitution as part of the religion. Whoredoms, fornication was associated with the religion. And they wonder why I did not one but two lessons trying to tell these clowns that sex is not marriage. Because I was telling these women that if you just run up in them, you my wife. No, that is temple, cult, shrine, prostitution. Or whoredoms. That's not how that went. It's a subtle form of pimping. And these men come out here and they tell y'all in some of these Hebrew Israelite camps, if I sleep with you, you my wife. We married. We're not married. My father didn't give me away to you. We ain't, you ain't gave me any dowry. We ain't discussed courtship or nothing. You just ran up in me. You just slept with me, and now you're married. And then he goes out and he does the other thing with other women, except they ain't buying the whole we married, but he's still sleeping with them. And then he has the audacity to call himself a priest. So let's see. He calls himself a priest. He whored around with a bunch of women, and it's related to a religion. That sounds like pimping to me. I'm going to show you that pimping since the beginning, right? So now that we see that, let me show you something. Now that we understand that sodomite does not mean male homosexual, it does not mean that. Let's go to the Holman Bible Dictionary. We're going to look up what it says on the prostitution. It just be making stuff up. Pimping since the beginning.
While you're doing that, too, this is a good connection to that class that's not marriage, because it also gives a little bit more background as to why these fathers, like with the paperwork, all the things you had to do, you had to work for this woman.
Right.
And then she is yours.
Right.
It's all kind of just tied together for me.
Right. And she could only be yours.
Right. Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah, right. That's why it's a connection.
Nobody else. But this is a form of pimping, right? Now, this is prostitution. It's on page 1144 of the Holman Bible Dictionary. Let me show y'all something that it says. The term cult prostitution, wait a minute. The term cult prostitution, we just read in Deuteronomy 23 and 17 in the English Standard Version, none of the daughters of Israel shall be a cult prostitute, and none of the sons of Israel shall be a cult prostitute. Now the Holman Bible Dictionary is about to tell us what a cult prostitute or cult prostitution. So are we lining all this up for him, Kevin?
Yes, sir.
No guesswork. No guesswork. We know what this is talking about. The term cult prostitution is frequently used to refer to certain practices in Canaanite fertility cults.
Mm.
Who was Israel's neighbor? The Canaanites.
Canaanite.
Including the cult of Baal. Then it says seed fertility cult. This practice and the belief on which it was based were incompatible with monotheism, you know, the belief in one God, and with the nature of Israel's God. So it's incompatible with the nature of Israel's God, because God, the God of Israel, don't deal with pimps and whores. That's why it's incompatible with him. Right? Then it says, the term Kadesh, that's what we looked up for sodomite, and Kadesh Shah, that's for the women, the feminine version of that, from the word meaning holy. Wait a minute. Why does the word Kadesh come from Kodesh? You know, like the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Kadesh, the Kadesh, that's translated sodomite, you know, the word meaning male prostitute, it comes from the root word Kodesh, that means holy. Hmm. How could such a evil practice come from a word meaning holy? Because these people considered these prostitutes in their religion to be holy.
Wow.
See, they thought they didn't see anything wrong with fornication. They thought fornication was holy. It was sacred. Fornication, not marriage. Fornication was sacred. Whoremongering was sacred. And that's what's going on in these camps. They're sleeping with these women and fornicating with them and calling it holy or sacred matrimony. And that's why that word comes from that.
Wow.
Just because you slap holy on front of something does not mean it's holy to the Most High. This is why I go in real hard on this whole sex and marriage doctrine, because it's nothing but a subtle form of cult whoredom.
Wow.
That's all it is. And you got the priests and the pimps, all of that. They the same in one. So I'm trying to tell these sisters, get up out of there. You're being pimped. That's what you're doing. You're being pimped. But look what else it says here, right? It says the term Kadesh and Kadesha from the word meaning holy are generally translated cult, prostitute, or sodomite in the King James Version, right? The masculine term is probably also used in a generic sense to refer to both male and female cult prostitutes. Such prostitutes function, listen to this now, such prostitutes function in the temple in Jerusalem at various times in Israel's history and were removed during periods of religious reform. Wait a minute. And I'm going to show y'all that in the scriptures. Wait. Israel was practicing cult prostitution?
Sound like it.
That means they were, it was a religion, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
They were practicing whoredom and calling it holy. And that's exactly what they're doing today with this sex is marriage. No, that ain't number pimp in front of the beginning. Because you can't have temple prostitutes without temple priests. And the priests oversaw all of the prostitution in the temple. So that would make the priest getting all the money. Because remember, God did not want you to bring that money back to his temple from prostitution.
Right.
But in cult prostitution, you brought the money back. Who do you, the actual God of Israel and the pagan gods, they never came down and spent the money. So if you are a priest and there's cult prostitution going on in your temple that you run and people are bringing in money from sleeping with these cult prostitutes, who's getting the money? The priest that runs it. What does that make him, Kevin?
Pimp.
So Israel had pimp, y'all. Pimping since the beginning. But let me show y'all something else. See, I got my eyes on y'all. You know, I got my eye on the conscious community, but I keep two eyes on the Hebrew Israelites. You follow what I'm saying? I got one eye on the Christians, but I keep two eyes on these Israelites.
Cockeyed, right?
Exactly. Let's go to 1 Samuel. We're going to read about Samuel's sons. Let's see how they got down. It's 1 Samuel. They were the priests.
It should be 300 people in this room right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it, you look at the title, but it really should be about 300 people in this.
They don't want to hear it because they want to keep the pimp game going.
Exactly.
A pimp don't want to go listen to anybody expose a pimp. They don't want to do that.
Pimp exposure going on around here.
Right. I'm going to show y'all what they were doing. But they had the willing, thirsty whores back then, too.
Yeah.
It's on both sides. You know, I don't just blame the pimp. Pimp can't be a pimp without a participant.
It takes two.
Well, it has to take more than two, because I don't know a pimp with one. I don't know a pimp with one. You play pimping if you're doing that. if you only got one. You play Samuel.
Come on.
This is all. This is 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12. We're reading about the sons of Eli. Right? Go ahead and read.
This is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. And now the sons of Eli were the sons of Eliab, and they knew not the Lord.
Now, in the Bible, when it calls somebody the son of Belial, it doesn't mean that there's a guy named Belial who they're literally the sons of. You know it can't mean that because it just told they're the sons of Eli, right? Son of Belial or sons of Belial was a euphemism for just saying some worthless son. They're like, they were no good. They were sorry. You can look this up. I did a whole study on this before. I think me and Stanley was talking about it, and I showed him that. Or he already knew it, and we went to some more examples. I forgot, but I think it was Stanley, right? But that's what it means. Some worthless son, right? And they were the priests. That's bad. Skip down. Let's see what they were doing, boy. And let me show what they were doing. He got wild out. Get down to read verse 22, Cam J.
22.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Whoa. Now, Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assemble at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And you can read in later places where it was like a kind of job that these women performed. Right? So there's and the tabernacle later became the temple. Right? So these guys were supposed to be the priests, and they up there sleeping with women who assemble at the door. Like, they come to the door to do their job or whatever, they snatching them up, sleeping with them inside the tabernacle.
Kevin the dust, man.
What Kevin does say?
Participants.
Yeah, participants. That's another euphemism for the prostitutes. They're participants. They participate with the pimp.
Ah, y'all crazy today,
man. But I'm telling you, look what it said. They're sleeping with the women of the tabernacle who assemble at the door. And it don't say they were forcing them or they were raping them. These women were down the clamp.
Yep. Man.
And these guys were the priests. They were Eli's sons or whatever. So guess what? They don't turn God's tabernacle to a whorehouse. That's what they did. These guys were off the chain.
Big time.
They were off the chain. Like I said, pimping since the beginning. If you run in the tabernacle, even if you're not a priest, if you run the tabernacle and you sleeping with the women out in that assemble to the door of the tabernacle, that means you just whoring around.
Yeah, right.
Why did they do it? See, here's the question you got to ask yourself, though. Why doesn't it say they met the women at the door of the tabernacle and coerced them into going somewhere else to sleep with them? Why they got to do it at the tabernacle? Because it always got to be related to religion or a spiritual system. Y'all see that? Always got to be related to that. In other words, they would turn these women into temple whores or tabernacle whores. That's what they were turning them into.
Yeah. Wow.
So Israel had leaders sleeping with women who came to the tabernacle or the place of worship. Y'all don't think that's going on today? Y'all think, oh, I can't believe it. That's what's going on in a lot of these camps. And when they say assemble at the door, that means they waiting at the entrance. It don't say in the tabernacle. It says assemble at the door of the tabernacle congregation. They catching them at the door.
Right.
You know how you go to a church and the church service ain't started yet and they have the deacons outside welcoming everybody.
Yeah, everybody
shaking everybody's hand. That's where they were catching them at. Except they were shaking something else.
Come on, man.
They were not playing. They catch them. They ain't let them even in. Nah, we getting you at the door of the tabernacle. I'm telling y'all, man. Y'all see this stuff. I'm trying to tell y'all, pimping since the beginning. And they were running the show. These guys were trifling. You feel me? Read verse 23. Watch what it's saying.
Okay. Verse 23. And he said unto them, why do ye thus say? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people.
Now he asked them. Eli asked his sons, why are you doing such things? I hear your evil. No, they're calling them evil. Wait a minute. So much for if you sleep with them, that's your wife.
Right. Right there.
Right there, y'all. They were sleeping with these women. Why he called it evil? It should have been no evil. They just racking up on wives, right? Mm. That's right there, y'all. I can beat up on sex and marriage all day. I can do this all day. It's plenty of places to prove that ain't how they got there. He called that evil. Read the next verse. Watch what it says.
Nay, my sons, but it is no good. For it's no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress.
You make the Lord's people to transgress. Because you don't turn the tabernacle into a goddamn whorehouse. Because you're just sleeping with the women. And think about it, too. In ancient Israel's days, Kevin, why did women go to the tabernacle? Why did anybody go to the tabernacle? To do what? What was the purpose?
To forget them their sin?
No, no. Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, what was the number one purpose? Why do you go to church? To do what?
Worship.
To worship. So you got these that come on the worship and these guys ambushing them at the door sleeping with them.
Wow.
It's the same thing going on in these camps today. And they tell you, oh, we married. If that's the case, why did Eli call that evil? Because all they said they did was sleep with the women, right? Ain't that all they said?
Yeah.
That's all they say. Oh, I sleep with her. She my wife. Then why did Eli call it evil? In fact, everybody was talking about it as evil. He said, what's this evil I'm hearing? Even ancient Israel knew that ain't right. Don't play with me, y'all. But a lot of y'all like whoredoms. I'm only talking to the people who didn't know and don't want to get caught up in this mess. But a lot of these people, y'all don't think Eli's sons knew what they were doing were wrong? Yeah, they knew. They just didn't care. It's like, why these camps don't care? Why these sisters don't care? It don't say they were raping these women. It don't mention nobody getting put in the chokehold and getting dragged behind the tabernacle, does it? They were down the clown.
Yeah.
But he still said, you make the people to transgress because y'all are the leaders. There were a lot of these elders at these camps doing. Y'all are making the people to transgress because y'all keep turning God's people into pimps and whores. Eli's sons were the pimps. They had their whole thing on lockdown. Their own daddy had to come and confront them. Man, y'all can't be doing this, man. What's going on? Read the next verse.
If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father. Because the Lord would slay them.
Is that notwithstanding, they did not listen to the voice of their father because the Lord would slay them, meaning they were destined to be killed for what they were doing. But they wouldn't listen. Just like they don't listen to us, Kevin. This is their own biological father telling them, y'all know this is wrong. But it also lets you know that the Lord will end up slaying them. Why do you think you're going to escape today? You're doing the same thing. See, they were making me laugh. They called him at the door of the tabernacle. Brother, these guys were not playing. They were on these women. And it ain't come out no marriage, which means it wasn't necessarily the same group of women showing up, different groups of women. People came to the tabernacle every day. They were tripping back then in ancient Israel. This is pimping. That's what this is. Kev, is it pimping?
This is clearly pimping.
Antoine, Dre, Nautica, Judah, is this pimping? Is it? They ran the tabernacle. And I can show y'all in other places where people were keeping the money.
101 Hebrew style.
Exactly. And that's what y'all see today. But that's how I know people ain't really reading this book. Because I see the same thing going on today. And then when I speak out against it, they want to look at me like I'm crazy. No, y'all dudes are tripping. I keep telling y'all, man, a lot of these camps ain't going to make it. They got you fooled. They ain't going to make it. I'm telling y'all. They living just like ancient Israel. We are not even learning from our mistakes. They had that thing on lockdown. But let me show you something else. Let's move on. Let's go to 1 Kings. Come on, some sexist marriage. Then why was that evil for them to be laying with these women? Because that's all it means. They were sleeping with them. That means they were not married to these women. Some of these women could have even been married for all we know. We don't know. Same way. And y'all know y'all can tell some camp stories because I can tell some camp stories. Let's talk about the sisters. Y'all know when y'all went to a camp for the first time, they were literally waiting at the door to try to jump on any new skirt that walked up in there. Y'all know ain't lying.
Happened in the Sunday church, too.
And they got them in the Sunday church, too.
Trust me, I know.
Yep. Because, you know, Antoine was the one standing out there handing out pamphlets. I'm messing with that. Yeah, come on in the church. You make sure you come on up and help. Y'all know how them brothers be doing? I keep it real. I don't play. Y'all know. I talk to y'all straight. I keep it 100. I let y'all read this stuff and see it for yourself. Y'all, man, he tripping, but that's what it say, though. Call me tripping all you want to, but tell me it ain't saying what I'm saying it's saying. Y'all got to ask y'all see exactly what's going on. It's at the tabernacle door. they were catching them at the entrance. You follow what I'm saying? So now we're going to go to 1 Kings. Ain't nothing changed. Nothing has changed. They still doing it today. That's why it ain't no big shock to me. When that video came out of you know who getting called at a club hitting on obvious whores, and these women were not just dressed like that, they were getting paid. If you go into a public club and you see a woman on a pole, just on a pole, I ain't talking about a strip club, that's a public club, and she's been there on that pole, you know. Upside down, got to put that in the skin. Upside down, right? You know she gets paid to do that, right? I mean, come on, y'all. We're all adults here. If you go into a public club, I ain't talking about a strip club. And they got some, you know, they have some where the women just be hanging in cages, just dancing out of a cage. I don't even know what that's even about. But y'all know these women get paid for that. They're getting paid to sell sex. You trying to tell when them brothers walk up in that club and they see women wearing what is the equivalent of lingerie and underwear, you trying to tell me they couldn't tell those were obvious whores or prostitutes? And then you jump on YouTube and say, we the priests of the Lord? I thought God said his priest wasn't supposed to marry a whore. And you couldn't sleep with them either, so if you're not trying to marry them. I heard one of them. We asked them if they were single.
Huh?
They said that. We asked them in defense. We asked them if they were single.
Wow.
Let me tell y'all something. A single whore is no better than a married woman as far as, like, being off limits.
Right.
That's no better. You don't mess with a married woman and you don't mess with a single whore. I mean, come on, y'all.
Yeah.
They both off limits. You can't. The Bible tells us to leave both alone as men. What are they talking about? They were the modern day sons of Belial, sons of Eli. Stop playing games. Dude, want a whole organization that got at least got to have a couple of thousand, ain't saying tens of thousands, but a couple of thousand, and you trying to tell me the best place you can think of to look for a wife or the best kind of wife you can think of trying to hit on is one walking around in public half naked and on a pole upside down?
Don't be that out.
You feel me? That's the best you can do as a Hebrew man? That's the best. I'm serious. It ain't enough women who already follow you worldwide, or at least countrywide. I say countrywide. Right? That respect you? That you just can't put out a APB? Yo, I'm single and I'm looking for a wife. Or I'm looking for another wife. You know you'll get some response to that. They'll probably fly all the way out to wherever you live and come see you. I have no doubt that they can make that happen. Mm-hmm. Now, you want to go up and chase some hoes. But you the priest. I keep telling y'all, man, they know this stuff. They like Eli. They don't care. I mean, Eli's sons. They don't care. It's that Eli's sons will not listen to him. They knew what they were doing with Wicked.
Yeah.
Israel's problem has never been ignorance. It's always been obedience.
Yeah. Amen.
Yep. It's always been that. And in the few instances where ignorance was the case, they changed their repent. Oh, we didn't know that. We stopped it. So don't play games with me, man. There's too many fakes on this app, too many pretenders. Too many pimps calling themselves priests. I'm going to keep talking about it. As long as the Most High keep putting on my spirit to do it. Right? So we're in 1 Kings, chapter 14, 21 to 24.
Kings 14.
21 to 24. And by the way, y'all, in case y'all didn't know, this is how bad this country and the world has fallen into what is known as poor culture. They even got classes where they teaching women how to twerk.
Wow.
They got pole classes where they're teaching women how to get on poles. They even got poles that women can buy and install in their home.
I seen that. Yep. I seen that.
Now, whatever you want to do for your husband in the comfort of your own home and your bedroom, that's your business. You do whatever you want. You can, you know, get on that pole. Upside down. You can do that for your husband. You can do it. That's, you know, they ain't got nothing. They ain't nobody been with y'all.
Right.
But a lot of these women that get off into this whore culture, they're trying to bring the fantasy of the strip clubs to the streets and to the homes. That's what they're trying to do. Right? I know the game, y'all. I know it. Ain't, the average woman ain't trying to go out there and buy no pole, not no married woman. I don't know too many married women. I'm just going to put a pole up. There. I mean, I'm not the time they're doing it. But most women with a pole in their house, they single. Y'all know ain't lying. Who that's for? If you single, who that's for? And who going to ever see you own it if you single? That's what y'all need to ask yourself. If y'all see a woman that's not married, or is single, and you ever go over out and talk to the women now, and your girlfriend got a stripper pole in her room, and you know she ain't married, who that's? They're trying to, it's getting worse and worse. I want y'all to understand that. It's getting worse and worse. And it was bad back then, too. 1 Kings 14, 21-24. Read, please.
And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. And Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, and the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonite.
Mm-hmm.
And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done.
Mm-hmm.
But they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree.
Man said, for they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. So I'm letting y'all know, this is what Judah, this is about the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah. I'm letting y'all see what they end up doing, right? Okay, Keep reading.
And there were also sodomites in the land.
Now, hold on. There were who in the land?
Sodomites.
There were sodomites in the land, right? Male prostitutes. Shrine prostitutes that were male. They were in the land. Every shrine, every temple have priests. So if you got prostitutes, you got to have a priest over the temple, over the shrine. That's who's getting the money. That's the pimp. So what is it saying is shrine prostitution was going on at the time with males. And as we read in the Holman Bible Dictionary, when it say just sodomite by itself, they say it may also just mean shrine prostitutes in general, male and female. They're not certain, but we know it definitely means the male. Right? So you got shrine prostitutes during this time, right? That's what's going on, shrine prostitutes, right? And keep reading what else it says.
And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel.
And they did according to all the abominations. I said the neighboring nations were doing this stuff.
Yep.
Right? According to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Every time you turned around, ancient Israelites were trying to set up a pimp and hoes. That's what they were doing. See, y'all don't know that. Y'all read about sodomites. Y'all don't understand that all of this stuff is deeper than just sodomite meaning homosexual. So it doesn't even mean that. It's attached to an entire industry. It's pimping. It's shrine prostitution. It's cult prostitution. It's temple prostitution. That's all it is. And you have these people come over here, and they get down, and they get paid, and the priests keep the money. That's why God said, I don't want you to bring money that was obtained from prostitution to my house.
Right.
But who do y'all think the people who did give money to God, you know, when they tried to donate money like for the tabernacle and stuff, we ain't talking about tithes.
Right.
We just talking about money that you donated. Who do you think got that money, Kevin? Who got that money?
It's the priest.
The priest got it. So when you go through the sodomites and their shrine prostitution, who got the money? Prostitution means people get paid.
That's right.
So who kept the money? The priest. Because you built the shrine, you brought the money to the shrine. Even when you go watch 300, Leonidas had to throw money. And they asked him, did he want, you know, some other kind of service? Because, you know, he just came there for some guidance. And he was like, I'm straight. You feel me?
Right.
But he could have did that too. It's been going on forever. This is going on in ancient Egypt, ancient Babylon. All of this is nothing but pimping. And it's going on today in the modern day church and in these Hebrew Israelite camps. That's all that's going on, y'all. That's why you got to be careful if you join any organization and they got these weird bizarre views of sex and sexuality.
Right.
And marriage. You got to be careful. Yeah, girl, if I just sleep with you, you my wife, that's kind of weird. You know, that's not a little thrown off. Right? That's one of them temple pimps. And since Kev, Brother Ben, want to combine words, participant, we're going to call a temple pimp a pimple. That's a pimple. You know what I'm saying? That's a temple pimp. You combine them. That's a pimple. That's what a lot of y'all been dealing with. Pimples.
Pimples.
And y'all know how to deal with a pimple. You burst it.
Get out of here.
getting it out of here. That's what was going on. Israel was setting up. This is the oldest form of pimping, y'all, and it's always associated with religion. This is what I wanted y'all to understand. It's always associated with the religion. And I be trying to get people to see this stuff, but they say, wait a minute, man, this dude right here, man, he is tripping. And I can show y'all in another class, Kevin. they even had the polls, bro.
Oh, come on.
They even, bro, I'm not even playing, bro. I might bring it out in big class, man. They even had the polls up and up. Now, I don't know if somebody was on it upside down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, I'm gonna go ahead and do it again. Just for you, you want me to do it again? You want me to bring it out? You want me to bring it out? Y'all give me a one in the chat. I'm gonna let the people decide. People paying attention. Give me a one in the chat. Y'all want me to bring out them polls? Prove about the polls. Give me a one in the chat. I need at least five of them. I want to see if people paying attention. I need at least five ones in the chat. Y'all want me to bring out the polls?
Oh, you will get five easy on that one. That's
easy. I'm gonna go ahead and bring them out. We okay. Now, what did you stop at, right? You stopped at, okay, now do me a favor. You stopped at verse 22, right?
I stopped at, let me see, how I played. I stopped at 24.
You stopped at 24. Okay, do me a favor, and you started at 21, right?
21.
Yep. Okay, do me a favor. Read verse 23. Read that, please.
Okay. But they also built them high places and images and grows on every high hill and under every great tree.
Now, it says, for they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and on every green tree. Right? Now, let me show you how this reads in other translations so y'all can know I'm not making this stuff up because y'all think I be tripping. So we already got the field for prostitutes, right? Right, we got them. So I'm trying to, and y'all know that the polls is associated with the strip club and all that. We're going to read the same thing in the contemporary English version, right? And we're going to read verse 23. And I'm going to say the word translated, groves. Look what it says. They also built their own local shrines and stone image of foreign gods. Listen to this. And they set up sacred poles for worshiping the goddess Asherah on every high, on every hill, and in the shade of every large tree. They even got the poles up in there, y'all.
Wait a minute, what you see me? Wait,
the contemporary English version, bro. I'm not playing.
Bro, like, so my Bible comparison say Asherah poles.
Hold up. Asherah's poles. Now, and that's what mine says. Now, check this out. Who was Asherah? She was a fertility goddess of the Canaanite. Fertility represents sex. And she got a pole for her. So y'all tell me today, at what point do we ever associate sex, women, and poles together? Strip club.
Strip club.
Don't play with me, y'all. Pimping since the beginning.
But was actually upside down with that pole?
You know what? I'm going to have to look into that. Boy, I tell you what. If I find any image of her upside down on the pole, I'm just going to have to probably fast or something. I was just saying, do you see that? And you see, when Antoine looked his up, he saw the same thing. Here it is in the easy-to-read version, 13:14-23. They built high places, memorial stones, and sacred poles. They built them on every high hill under every green tree. So they had these sacred poles with these shrines for temple prostitution. If you got temple prostitution, you got the priests that get paid the money. So that's the pimp. Pimping since the beginning.
You got to read Big Baby version, man.
Okay, you know, because you have New Living Translation. Let me see if I can bring it out.
I'll look it right there.
You know it's there in 14:3?
Yeah.
Let me pull it out. I keep trying to tell y'all, man, I'm not playing with these people, man. I be seeing stuff. I'm going to tell y'all. I'm going to always tell y'all the truth. I'm always reveal the game to y'all. If you want to know it, though, if you don't want to know it, you know, go on in there. Why, well, everybody want to jump on these boats? All these people, I'm buying me a boat. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I'm not saying that getting on a pole in general. I'm just letting you know that that's what that's associated with. Not Astaroth. I'm just saying, like, that's what you think of. Right? This is the New Living Translation. I don't want y'all to get scared. Y'all marry, and what y'all do, you tell them, I'm about to throw their pole out. Now your man calling me. He mad. After your lesson, Josh, he don't want to get on that pole no more. Upside down. New Living Translation. This is what it says. 13:14-23. For they also built for themselves pagan shrines and set up sacred pillars and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every green tree. So we got the poles, we got the prostitutes, we got the pimps, and it's all in a religious setting. This stuff is religious, y'all. Strip clubs, all of that stuff. Pimping, any industry that is selling some kind of sex is religious, is spiritual. That's what it is. We don't even understand that. I've met ex-strippers who told me their names, their stripper names were even named after female goddesses. Y'all got to understand, when you talk about a fertility goddess, that's a whore goddess. Mm-hmm. That's why when you get the revelation, you talk about that whore wearing red, riding on the scarlet beast. No, the scarlet, I think the woman wearing purple. Riding on a scarlet beast. And they call her the whore. Because different religions, God refers to that spiritually as fornication, spiritual fornication or spiritual harlotry. And that's what's going on. The pimp gang is a religion, y'all. It's a religion. Let's move on. Let's go to still in 1 Kings chapter 15. I told you I'd bring the pole out for you too, Kev. You need to see it.
Man. Hey, I can't wait for to see the replay numbers on this one.
In First Kings 15:9-12. Let's see what this king did. 1 Kings 15:9-12. Go ahead and read.
And in the 12th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom.
Mm-hmm.
And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made.
Mm-hmm.
And also Maacah, his mother, even her, he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron.
Now look what it said. And he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. He got rid of all that shrine and temple prostitution. That means he was kicking out pimps and prostitutes.
Man.
The pimps are the priests that got the money from the prostitution that was going on at these shrines that they built. He got rid of all of them. See, notice that the righteous kings try to shut down the pimp and prostitute industry, but the wicked kings try to set it up. So if you go to a camp and they're trying to teach you whoredom and trying to disguise it as something holy, then you just ran into a pimple.
Yep. Amen.
A pimple and a participant.
Participant.
Those you don't ran into. These guys are pimps. When you was in the Sunday church and you came, that's all you did. The pastor is a pimp. He's a pimp. Did y'all really think the pimp game was done when you left the Sunday church?
Mm.
Y'all thought y'all were going to become Israelites and you ain't got to worry about getting pimped no more. No, they pimping too.
More pimps.
Because the average Sunday preacher, he can't be out in the open with all his women like that if he got more. But y'all can. Y'all don't change the game. Y'all pimp game so strong, you ain't even got to hide the hoes. See, the Sunday preacher, he got to hide them. A married Sunday preacher, he can't be in the open like, yeah, this is my wife, and this is my second wife and my third wife. He can't do that. He'll just have them on the side. Nobody know about them. But these elders and some of these Hebrews like him, they don't change the game so much, they ain't even got to hide them. They just tell you they're my other wife. And y'all just get caught up in it, getting pimped. Because pimping been going on since the beginning. Israel always do. I always show y'all Israel is doing it. I don't show y'all the other nations. I show y'all Israel is doing it. Nothing new under the sun. Our forefathers were pimps and prostitutes back then. And guess what? We got pimps and prostitutes today in Israel. Deal with it. I don't know why y'all keep thinking we different from them. We were just as wicked as our forefathers, just as wicked. And we're going to need a small remnant to stand up and call people out for doing this crap. But they don't want to stop doing it, just like Eli's sons wouldn't listen to him. But for God's remnant, they're going to listen. And they're going to walk away from that mess. You just got to make sure you're one of those remnants. Let's move on. 2 Kings 23. We got two more after that.
23.
They know what's going on. See, like I said, I know Clubhouse ain't ready for this, Kevin.
No, sir.
They are not ready for this. Like you thought you would see something like this in a title like this in WAC 100 room or something.
Exactly.
No, I'm telling y'all the truth.
Hey, one of the brothers put in that dial line, a pimp preacher, he sure was. I'm from Chicago. He is not lying. That's the absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was a preacher. Yeah. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Trying to tell y'all, man. They don't like when I get to talking. I get to talking this real. It's real truth. See, real truth hit home. You know what I'm saying? It hit home, Kevin. It hit home.
There's some howling dogs out there somewhere.
But more like whimpering dogs.
You got to get five of you right.
2 Kings 23:5-8. They don't like it. They're like they ain't like it back then. Mm-hmm. Prophets, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but prophets were not popular.
Mm-mm.
Not in their day.
Ooh.
People hated the prophet. Every time the prophet showed up, you know, somebody done goofed. That what it literally meant. Every time he showed up, oh, man, who don't mess up now? You know what I'm saying? When you saw a prophet show up, that's what that meant.
Oh,
it was not, I'm telling you, man, it was not a good thing if a prophet came showing up. Like 99.9% of the time, if a prophet came knocking on your door, it was some bad news. Somebody don't mess up.
What about Ahab and Micaiah? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't stand Micaiah.
Right. He always prophesied evil concerning me because you keep doing evil stuff. One don't cause the other one calls the one. I don't prophesy evil concerning you, then you do evil. You do evil, then I prophesy evil about you. You got the game twisted. You got the cause and effect messed up. The prophecy ain't causing the evil. The evil is causing the prophecy.
Right.
I'm going to do a class on that. Real prophets were not popular, y'all.
Mm-mm.
Don't nobody like a prophet. Every time he show up, you know somebody don't messed up. You scared. I think that was Samuel. One of them, it was Samuel the prophet. He showed up somewhere. They said the people tremble. Do you come peacefully?
Yeah.
Israel knew when the prophet showed up. And after a while, that fear turned to resentment and anger. So then when the prophet started showing up, Israel's literal attitude was like, will you please shut up? Israel did not want to hear it.
No.
And we try to act like we're just so evolved. We're the same way today. Israel is just as wicked now. That's why ain't been no deliverance. We don't even understand. Y'all do know that Israel as a nation, the way they conduct themselves, it doesn't primarily depend on that, but that plays a significant role in Israel's deliverance. That's right there in the prophets, in the prophets of the curse. Y'all trying to stop the deliverance. Even to bring this wicked nation as it is now back into the land, we get kicked out in a month.
Right. Evicted right away.
Evicted. When he made pay the first rent, you know, a month and the first rent come up. When he made pay first month rent, already evicted. Bitch, you know, they're already on the door. Get on up out of here. And y'all want to keep being wicked, keep being racist, keep being prejudiced, keep having respect of a person. All the stuff that it tells you got Israel kicked out the land. Being racist, prejudiced, and respectful persons is three other things that got Israel kicked out the land. And now y'all telling us we're going to get back remaining ignorant, prejudiced, and racist. Y'all need to fire these people, man. But I know you won't. I know you won't because a lot of y'all like this wickedness. I like it. I don't want to come over to the ABT, man. They always telling me I need to stop whoring around. I need to start dressing like modest. I want to keep on, this you going to do. I want to keep wearing my tight pants. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I don't want to give up the mystery. You know, the mystery of how you put on them tight pants. No, you're wrong for them tight pants, man. I'm going to speak on it. We used to sag. I grew up in a sagging generation.
Yeah, we had baggy pants.
Right. We were baggy. When I was growing up, boy, you want some tight pants, you would get took out.
Yeah, you was getting the side after the bus big time.
You got joined to the dirt.
Yeah.
They joined you to the dirt, boy, to the ground. You would have got clowned all the way.
Yeah.
Now that's the style. And y'all know how I became the style? Because a celebrity put on some tight pants.
Yep.
Oh, we're going to do a class on how these celebrities influence everything, too. It's all in the Bible. Just like Eli told his sons, you are causing the people to sin. He didn't just say you're causing the women who y'all are sleeping with to sin. He said you're causing the people to sin. What does that mean? How are they causing the people to sin? That means that people were imitating Eli. Y'all got Eli's sons. Y'all got to understand that the leaders of Israel were like today's equivalent of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
People looked up to these people and followed them and imitated them.
Yeah.
They had celebrities back then. If you don't know what a celebrity is in the Bible, in the King James, like a word for it, just look at the word renown. R-E-N-O-W-N, renown.
Mm-hmm.
Men of renown. That's all that means, somebody real popular. Celebrity status. And people died following them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen on celebrities. I learned that from Dave Chappelle, a celebrity. He said, doing 9/11, he said, people be asking me stuff, I don't be knowing what I'm talking about. He said, I'm not no expert. he said, remember when all this stuff with 9/11 was going on, he was listening to some radio station, and he was like, the DJ was like, you know, we got Ja Rule here. He's going to speak on the situation. Dave Chappelle was like, man, why they got Ja Rule here? You know, what he going to talk? What does he know? He said, like, Dave Chappelle said, like, when the airplane hit the Twin Towers, everybody was like, somebody called Ja Rule. What does he know? This is a direct quote from my book. Celebrity does not mean expert. Just because you popular don't you know anything. And we think just because somebody popular, that's the reason why you drink Gatorade. You don't know nothing about Gatorade. You just see Michael Jordan drinking Gatorade. Michael Jordan ain't going to be drinking Gatorade.
Exactly.
Michael Jordan probably can tell you one ingredient in Gatorade. But you gonna drink it because he drank it.
Let's listen to Cardi B's opinion on who we should vote for president.
Exactly.
What?
You're not a politician.
Right.
You ain't got a degree in politics or sociology or nothing. But because, you know, people use their celebrity status and they abuse it. I'm going to do a whole class on that. I already did a class about stars and celebrities before, but I'm going to take it in a different direction. And it's the same thing in the religious community. Some of these religious leaders have become celebrities. And we're going to follow them straight to death. But we're in 2 Kings 23, 5 to 8. Read, please.
2 Kings chapter 23, verse 5. And he put down all the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places around about Jerusalem. Them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planet, and to all the hosts of heaven.
So it says, so this is about Josiah, King Josiah, right? He's getting rid of all this stuff, and he put down the idolatrous. Now listen, he put down the idolatrous priests. I mean, the priests of these idols, right? He said, with whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places around about Jerusalem. Them also that burnt incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planet, and to all the hosts of heaven. Keep reading.
And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord, without Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast a part of thereof upon the graves of the children of the people.
So he wasn't playing. Look what he did. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord. It was in the house of the Lord.
Right.
Right? And by the way, if I'm not mistaken, I think that word grove is that pole again. Let me just double check. Let me double check. If it is, I know Kevin will have a fit.
It's a tree of pole.
Let me see. Grove, let's see, 23, verse 6. Let me see. Kevin, don't you just take that pole. Yep, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yep, it is. This is what it says in the ERV. Josiah removed the Asherah pole from the Lord's temple.
Yeah.
So it was in. So it was in the Lord's temple, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then it says, from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron, and burnt it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder. So powder. So we burnt it and stamped it to powder, to ashes. And then it says, and cast the powder thereof upon the grave of the children of the people. That was very, very, very what he was trying to show us. Right? Continue, verse 7. What did he say? Go ahead.
And he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove.
Wait a minute. And I'm gonna tell you how this read. I'm gonna tell you how this reads the other translations.
Wow.
And he break down the house of the Sodomites. Where was house located? That were by the house of the Lord.
Right there.
They built them right by there. They had a pimp and a hose operating. Several of them, right by the house of the Lord. Why are they always trying to put the pimping and the prostitution right next to the house of the Lord? Because it's a spiritual thing. It's religious. Pimping been going on for a long time, y'all, and it's always been connected with religion. That's what it's related to. The pimps are the priests. That's why I said the idolatrous priests. They needed these idolatrous priests to run this stuff. It would be idolatrous priests that were running the prostitution. Those were your pimps. They the ones taking the money. Y'all got to understand, when it's talking about shrine prostitution, that's money being made. They weren't just worshiping other gods. They were getting paid from the priests We're getting paid from the money made from the prostitution by the men and the women. And then it also said where the women wolves hanging for the grove. Right? Read verse 8 then. Let y'all see the rest of it. Go ahead and read.
Verse 8. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba and break down the high places of the gate that were in the entry in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on the man's left hand at the gate of the city.
So you see, Josiah dealt with this. Josiah wanted it gone. He wanted plans. He shut down the whole industry, right? Now let me show you how this verse 7 reads, because I know they call Josiah eye when he read that. They call his eye, I can tell. Let me show you how it reads in verse 7. You know, this is ERV, 2 Kings 23 and 10. Then King Josiah broke down the houses of the male prostitutes who were in the Lord's temple. Right? Women also used these houses and made little tent covers to honor the false goddess Asherah. So you got a house for the male prostitutes, and the women also used these houses to honor Asherah. And the idolatrous priests are the ones that got the money from the prostitution. Because, you know, prostitution is an industry. You get paid. And if it's at a temple, the priests collect the money. Do you see that, Kevin J?
Clearly.
Right? Look how I read in the Bible in basic English, 2 Kings 23 and 7. And he had the houses pulled down of those who were used for sex purposes in the house of the Lord, where women were making robes for Asherah.
Wow.
No matter how you read it, this is Pippin, contemporary English version, 2 Kings 23 and 7. He had the buildings torn down where the male prostitutes lived next to the temple and where the women wove sacred robes for the idol of Asherah. Wove means like they're, you know, they're making them, they're weaving them. It said the robes. So that means they had on the worshiping robes.
Wow.
Remind me of the women in the choir at the church.
Yep, sure do.
All out. See, they were wearing the robes, right? All this stuff is religious, but it's pimping. Good old-fashioned pimping. And Josiah came and shut it down. Just like a lot of religious institutions today, they try to lobby to have strip clubs shut down, but they lose. You know why? Because strip clubs pay taxes.
That's right.
That's why you can't get rid of too much money.
Much money.
It's all the same. Right? And it started with religion. Let's move on. We only got two more. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6.
Here it is. We got 66 people in here. And we should have... I mean, people is missing this, man. This is bad.
That means some of the usuals don't even want to hear this one.
Right? I can't believe it.
I told you before we even got all the way into this. I said, they ain't ready for this one.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like that. It's all good, though.
But put this same title in WAC 100 for somebody else. You know what I'm saying? You know, totally different viewpoint. Everybody in there, you know.
Right? People don't like anything that exposes a change we need to make.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Self-help. But I'm putting it out there. People need to know. I'm going to teach it regardless, whether it's 66 or 6 people. I'm going to teach it. You feel me?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 6. And we want to hear that stuff. Because a lot of men and women, they want to stay in the pimp and the whore culture. A lot of us have not stepped all the way out of the world. We still got one foot in the world.
Yeah.
That's just really truth about it. Oh, man, he telling me I can't be walking out here with tight dresses on no more, you know what I'm saying? You know, I can't get my attention. because they be wanting that attention, and they feel like I'm trying to take it from them. They don't like this kind of stuff. We don't like anything that requires real change. See, you can come on this app and argue back and forth, and that's all good, but the stuff I teach people about requires real self-examination and real determination to change.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't want to change. We want to keep faking it. We want to keep, oh, I love the Lord and all that, you know what I'm saying? We want to keep running to these strip clubs, men and women.
Yep.
We want to keep doing that. We want to keep dressing like pimps and whores. We want to keep doing it. So, you know, they ain't no interest to them. They don't want to hear that care. They're not. Nobody is interested in something they don't want to do. If you want to do it, you're interested in it. If you don't, you're not. Simple and plain.
Yeah. And you know what, Josh? I was around when we did this class the first time. I ain't gonna lie, man. When I seen the title the first time, I'm like, man, it ain't no way. I'm serious. I I've never been taught something like that or seen anything like that. And at the end of that class, I'm like, I was showing everybody because I couldn't believe it.
It's right
taught these types of things in any other place.
And it's right there. You know what else so crazy?
And
I can take it to other cultures. Temple prostitution been going on for the longest, and the priest always walks away with the money. That's the new pimp. Or should I say the old pimp? The OG pimp. The OG pimp.
Triple OG.
Triple OG. OG triple OG pimp. You already know. 1 Corinthians 6:15-19. Watch what Paul says. Go ahead and read.
Now ye know not that your bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot?
See what he said? Know ye not, this is Paul talking to the Corinthians, believers. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. He's telling you that the modern-day believer, like the ancient believer, was supposed to have nothing to do with harlotry, which is whoredom and prostitution. As believers, we don't supposed to do that. And in other places, we were called the priests. Go ahead and read.
What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot, one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh.
So when you're joined to a harlot, you become one body with her. You don't become married. No, he didn't say man and wife. He just said y'all become one. But he just told you he don't want you to be joined to a harlot. So why would you read this and get, I can marry me, I want to marry a harlot. Why would you get that out of that? He just said, I would not that you be joined to a harlot. Go ahead and read.
But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
He that is joined to the Lord is of one spirit. That's what you're supposed to be, joined to the Lord. Go ahead and read.
18. Free fornication. For every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sins against his own body.
Now, don't you know he said flee fornication, right? It says everything that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Right? He's letting you know that your bodies are the members of Christ. In another place, he said we are the temple. You don't want to have the temple being associated with harlots. You're going to tell you that right back. That's meant for read verse 19. That's meant for, I'm saying another place like it's somewhere else. Read verse 19.
19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have God, and ye are not your own?
So he said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He's telling you that he does not want harlotry. Would you look that word up? It's whoredom or prostitution. In his temple. We are the temple, the people, believers. That means we're not supposed to have any prostitution or pimping going on among believers. Because we are the temple. But it's still pimping in the church, and it's still pimping in the Hebrew camp. Still going on. We're supposed to be doing that. The pimp gang is still strong, though, y'all. It is still going on to this day, and it started with religion or a spiritual system or a cult, whatever you want to call it. It always has something to do with worship. We think pimping is just, oh, some on the street that some dude who want to just make some money. He invented it. No. The very first pimps were priests. And they're still priests to this day. Or their teachers or their pastors or bishops, whatever you want to call them. It's still something associated with a leader over a religion or spiritual system pimping people. Let's go to the last one. Revelation 21. 7-8.
Hey, Josh, really quick, man. I would tell you, like when I was younger, probably when we used to see Don Juan, he had a big green Cadillac, man. And I was just like, man, how he always call himself, like, he was a preacher. Yet he was a pimp. I'm like, man, those two ain't got nothing to do with each other. I thought that was terrible, you know. And my mind, I used to go to church all the time. I was like, man, this is terrible. This ain't got nothing to do with the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And now, fast forward all the way to now. And it has a whole lot to do with it.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
It was always associated with religion. And a old school pimp, they know that. They'll tell you. Pimp has been around since the beginning. They know. And it was always associated with religion. Just like it still is today.
Yeah.
Right. We got to understand this stuff. This is Revelation 21, 7 and 8. Read that, please.
Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Mm-hmm.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone.
Notice it put whoremongers in there.
Sure did.
That means a male prostitute or a male whore. And if you are causing somebody to be a whoremonger, which a pimp does, that includes that too. In other words, y'all, pimps go to hell.
Mm.
Whores and prostitutes, male or female, go to hell. That's what this is telling you. I'm not a pimp. I'm not a player. Don't call me that. Don't call me a player unless I'm playing a sport. You feel me? Other than that, don't call me that. I know we just mean it as, like, you know, in general. You're like, no, don't call me a pimp. That's not what I am. Because pimps go to hell. That's like you condemn me. You going to hell. And y'all sisters need to stop jokingly referring to each other as the B word and whores. Y'all need to stop doing that too. Dang, ho. That, no, don't call me that unless I ask me, I am that. Y'all don't need to be doing that. So as y'all can see, pimping has been around since the beginning. And it is always been associated with some kind of religion or worship. And it's the same way now. So the next time y'all talking about pimps and prostitution, just show people the information in this class and let them know that it's always been related to worship. And who knows? They may wake up and find out one of two things. Either they themselves are pimps or they're being pimped. We'll be back after these brief announcements. All right, then, everybody. All right. First of all, everybody, we'd like to thank everybody for coming out today. As many as you know, we've been going on the air every Saturday, every Sabbath, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Clubhouse. That's what time we open up the room. also around the same time that we opened up on Blog Talk Radio, too. We got Blog Talk as well. We go on the air at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I try to play some nice music for y'all for about 30 minutes, and class starts around 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If anybody is interested in ordering a past class, you can click on my thumbnail, my bio, scroll down, you see all this information I'm about to tell you. If you're interested in ordering a past class, you can go on our online website. The website address is absolutebibletruth.com/store. Again, that's absolutebibletruth.com/store. And people have been definitely taking advantage of the online store. And we got a lot of classes just associated with this. I got more classes associated with this whole sex thing and how sex and worship does not supposed to mix. God never wanted the two to be associated with each other. And we can prove that to y'all, too, just keeping it moving. Also, if you're interested in making a donation or showing support, you can do so one of two ways. You can, this information is also on my thumbnail, just in case you're thinking you need to write it down. The first way is through PayPal, using our email address. I mean, you can also email us, contact us on this address if you want to reach us, but you can donate through this email address on PayPal using the address AbsoluteBibleTruthForever@yahoo.com. Absolute Bible Truth, the number 4, EVA at yahoo.com. You don't spell out the word 4, you type the actual numerical digit 4. So that's Absolute Bible Truth, forever@yahoo.com. And of course, the other way you can donate is through Cash App, using the Cash App tag, which is $ABTM, Again, that's $ABTM. And it just simply stands for Absolute Bible Truth Ministries. At this time, we're going to bring on Ariel, a.k.a. the Prince of Positivity. He's going to give a brief summary of what we learned today, as well as any announcements that he has. Go ahead, Ariel.
Peace, can you hear me?
You're good on my end, sir.
Awesome.